Welcome back to Whaler Radio. Here's part two of our interview with Jamie Mills.
Another great story about Dick Fisher. He was such a perfectionist. I recall being around 11 years old and being up at the factory with my father. And we went out to lunch with Dick Fisher. And he ordered, at this point, let's say it was a medium rare hamburger. The waitress brought our meal and he cut it open with a knife and said, "This is not a medium rare hamburger," and he sent it back. He proceeded to do that three times until they came out with what he considered a medium rare hamburger. It's indicative of the type of perfectionist that this man was. He was an innovator and a perfectionist coupled together.
So Mills' canvas had to meet some pretty stringent requirements to stay in the Boston Whaler family then, huh?
Absolutely.
Let's talk about your canvas. In fact, what fabric do you use? Is it actually canvas?
Years ago it was. It was cotton canvas until the early 70s, let's say mid-70s. It was 100% cotton canvas. In those years, cotton was king. We literally went through hundreds of thousands of yards of cotton canvas.
And what do you use now?
Now it's acrylic. It's a man-made fabric primarily produced by Glen Raven Mills under the trade name Sunbrella.
Ah, okay, so you use the Sunbrella fabric. That seems to be the preeminent one.
It is. It's a good fabric. It stands up well. The original color, which a lot of the early Boston Whalers were made out of, what they call now Pacific Blue, number 4601. It originally used to be called Newport Blue. And for some reason, I haven't found anybody that can tell me today why that Newport Blue still stands up the best of all the colors of in the Sunbrella line.
In terms of resistance to fading, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can take a piece of that blue, and 10 years later, it almost it looks almost identical to the day it was first put out under the sun.
Now, how about the frames? Do you make your frames out of aluminum or stainless?
They're all out of stainless now, Jim. Years ago, they were made out of aluminum. My father had looked at standard aluminums and standard pipe that was available and found them all to be lacking in either strength characteristics or durability characteristic. Of course, back in those days, there was not a big use of stainless. And so he actually had dies made, a 3/4-inch die with a heavy wall and a 7/8 die heavy wall.
Oh, he was drawing his own tubing, huh?
Well, we were having it manufactured, yes.
Yeah, wow.
And even the coating on it, which was a clear anodizing, was not being done in the industry. Everyone else was using a upright finish. You know, just through some years of research, found that the clear anodizing resisted scratching better, and it also stood up better in saltwater environment. So now we're using stainless. Pretty much everything is done with 7/8 stainless now.
The canvas for whalers seems to be kind of a complex thing. There's the forward shelter, the flying top, the side curtains, the windshield, the sun top. Do you know who designed all these different parts? Was that a Whaler or a Mills design?
Mills. The original designs were all my father's. The concept of a forward shelter was my father's. At that time, there was no such thing as a sun top. They used to call them bimini tops, which were used on larger boats, egg harbors and pacemakers and chris-crafts. But back in those days, there really weren't that many small boats around. So the concept of a top on a small boat really didn't exist. And he coined the name sun top. The forward shelter is a unique, I think, piece that is very practical. You know, there again, one of the overriding design concerns of building canvas, and building canvas in particular for Boston Whaler, as far as Mills & Company is concerned, is form follows function. You know, Whaler has used that phrase for years as a marketing tool, but when you come right down to it, if it doesn't function, it's worthless. It has to function. It has to do its intended job.
How big is Mills? How many people do you employ?
Presently, we have about 25 people.
So in Greenport terms, you're a major employer.
Yes.
Jamie, I appreciate this very much. This has been a great interview.
I've got one a little bit more, if you'd like.
Sure, keep going.
The story of how the outrage got its name. I believe it was about 1970, 71, and my father came up to Boston Whaler, and Dick Fisher had designed this new 21-foot boat. My father tells the story that he walked in the door and took one look, and at this point he and Dick Fisher had become close friends. He took one look and said, "That's outrageous." And the name stuck.
You'd think that you were doing so much business with Whaler, they'd have the Greenport model instead of the Montauk. But Montauk got you on that one.
Well, I'm sure you're already aware of the fact that Dick Fisher was probably the first guy to come along to start naming models. Prior to that, I think most people had used numbers, the old MFGs, Glastron, and people that were building boats at the time. They didn't have names for their model numbers. Dick Fisher was innovative enough to start taking places like Currituck and Menempsha and Montauk and Newport, Saconnet, and utilizing names of real places, most of them located around the Cape.
Yeah, in fact, that's interesting. It's Saconnet, not Saconnet, huh?
Yeah, Saconnet.
We're out here in the Middle West, and I think we all say we think it's Saconnet, but it's Saconnet.
Saconnet, yeah. Currituck, Eastport, Katama, Minot. These are all names that early on that were, I think Dick Fisher got out a chart and started throwing darts at it.
Well, certainly the marketing of the Whaler was as near genius as the design of it was. It's very interesting, too, that you mentioned he's such a perfectionist, and Mills apparently was about the only vendor that could measure up to his high standards. So you've had a long relationship with Whaler. Do you still make OEM canvas for Whaler?
We do. Now, though, our relationship with the Whaler name has changed. We deal directly with the majority of the dealers around the country and ship directly to them.
Oh, I see. So the canvas now is more of a dealer-installed product than the factory.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody has an existing Whaler, is there some easy way to tell if they had Mills canvas on it?
Yeah, the very simplest way is to look inside and find the silk, woven silk label. Just about every piece of canvas that we've ever produced has always had the woven silk label in it.
Now, if I had a Whaler and I didn't have Mills canvas on it and I wanted to get some, how would I deal with the fasteners? I mean, you'd send me the canvas. Would I have to install the fasteners for it myself?
Yes, but we provide all the fasteners. We provide a complete set of instructions on where the fasteners are to be located. There's nothing left to chance. If you can operate a tape measure and have some basic understanding of small tool use, you can do this.
You've got a very engineered solution for the Whaler boat.
I believe so.
Well, everyone says Mills canvas is the one to get, and it sounds like it is.
Well, we pay a lot of attention to detail.
Tell us about the William J. Mills mooring cover clips.
My father's recollection that it was somewhere around 1964 or 65 that he patented this mooring cover clip that fits over the older models of Whalers, primarily the 13 and the 16 and the 17. The requirement of Dick Fisher was that he wanted a mooring cover, but he did not want any buttons in the gunwale. And the problem, which is fairly obvious, buttons in a gunwale get ripped out as soon as the gunwale touches pilings and docks, so it didn't make any sense to have buttons in the gunwale. So there again, my father ended up picking up an idea from his friend at Merriman, and the guy said, "Well, how about a clip of a type that would fit over this gunwale?" And lo and behold, after numerous tries, he came up with this oddly shaped clip, which is made out of stainless steel and then coated in a plastic, a pliable plastic, that is attached to the covers and actually fits right over the gunwale on these boats and holds the cover in place. Now, there again, it's one of those things that has been well thought out, and oftentimes the customer or boat owner doesn't even realize how much of an advantage he's got by having a cover that clips on rather than buttons on.
This interview with Jamie Mills continues in Part 3.